Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
Who is trying to get Mike Lures.
Wildly texting you, Mike Lures.
And talking at the same time. So well done. In these trying times. We're trying to get a hold of Mike Lures, general manager of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. Everyone is very, very busy these days. Mike wants to talk to us about how things are going at the wastewater treatment plant. And actually, this might be, I don't know, somebody's on the line. Let's give it a try.
Good morning.
Hey, Mike, is that you?
That's me.
Oh, Mike.
Very sneaky this morning.
Live radio. Yeah, we tried calling you and you weren't answering, but so we appreciate you calling us.
Yeah, I don't know why that was, but anyway.
All right, perfect. Well, I was just talking about you in positive terms, believe me. You're very busy at the wastewater treatment plant these days, as everybody is, trying to handle COVID-19 and all the challenges it presents, particularly all of our infrastructural groups and institutions, and the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District has their hands full with a lot of things. We want to talk to you about a couple of things. First, this thing about flushable wipes. This has been a problem you've been seeing before coronavirus appeared, because I know we chatted about this maybe at the beginning of the year, and now with the virus in place, more and more people are using what we have, like 3 or 4 of them out right now.
Yeah,
I'm talking, indeed. Mike, I am literally talking through a Clorox wipe on my microphone. So, but tell us the problem associated with these things when they get to your treatment plant.
Okay, flushable wipes are flushable, I mean, they will go through your commode, mm-hmm. but once they get through your commode, they do not break down. And they stop up the plumbing in your home and can cause a backup of sewage into your home.
Ah.
Or if they happen to make it into the main wastewater system, you know, they wreak havoc on our system. Because they do not break down, they end up stopping up the pipes. They end up winding around our pumps. They clog up other equipment we have at the treatment plant. And they're an absolute, you know, nightmare. Certainly during this era of COVID-19, you know, the last thing you want to see is raw sewage backing up in your bathroom and throughout your home. And we certainly don't want to see the main system become clogged up and have raw sewage running down the road, exposing that to the public and certainly to our employees that have to clean it up and stop the pipes and pumps and all that.
Right.
So, you know, we really are, you know, begging your listeners to take any flushable wipe, paper towels, tissues, napkins, used T-shirts, whatever you happen to be using in the bathroom, you know, put them in a plastic bag, tie them up, and put them in your trash.
Okay.
Because if you flush them, you may see them again, and it won't be pretty.
So that's interesting. It sounds like people have gotten creative with what they're using in the bathroom. Use T-shirts, paper towels, and those things don't go well either.
They don't go well either. And I, you know, I can appreciate the fact that some people may be running a little bit low on toilet paper, but just keep in mind that the only thing that goes down the commode are the three P's, you know, poo and paper, and that is, you know, toilet paper. And anything else needs to be put in a bag. Because you know, very difficult and ugly, you know, backups will occur, and you may have heard even on the national news this morning this was being brought up because problems are arising for a number of wastewater utilities across the country, and it's just, I know it's natural to flush everything down the commode, but you know, the systems are not designed to, you know, we remove, you know, paper towels and what we call flushable wipes. So, you know, please don't flush them.
Okay.
So maybe this is a graphic question, but I mean, they come into your system, they get caught in all those parts that you were talking about. And then I'm assuming the only way to fix that is to shut down your equipment and have actual people getting in there and pulling these things out of the sewage. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You know, even though our employees have gloves on and all, you have to go in there with your hands and pull sometimes hundreds of pounds of these wipes and other things, you know, dental floss and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Off of these pumps and motors. And, you know, obviously that's expensive, but it's exposing, you know, our employees to all kinds of things that can cause problems. So, you know, that is the graphic part of it, is when these items are flushed and they wrap around all this equipment, we have to go in there with our hands and actually peel it off, cut it off. We can use high-pressure power washers, but even that doesn't cut it loose of the equipment. We have to go in there and actually manually pull it off.
Yeah, I recall working at a treatment plant where we had similar problems, just everyday things like Mike talks about. You know, fiber-based materials and toys and everything that comes into the plant. Not only does it clog up pipes and screens and things like that, it burns motors out because the pumps aren't
right.
The pumps aren't spinning, and then the motors burn out. Now you have a really big problem because you have to shut down that whole portion of that set of conduit and piping, and then you have to replace the motor. It is a big.
That's correct, and you know, and the problem we have now is with the COVID-19. You know, we are keeping all of our employees separate as much as we possibly can. But when you have a large pump and motor, some of these are like 100 horsepower. They weigh, you know, 1,000 pounds. You have to have a number of employees work together, just manhandle the equipment. And now we're bringing our folks closer together. That's something we don't want to do. So, you know, that's kind of an additional problem with people flushing wipes during the era of COVID-19 is that we're not able to keep our employees, separate from each other.
I think this also kind of gets at this bigger issue of maybe we think that when we put things down the toilet, they just go away, you know, to the great away, or they'll break down in some way. But that's not actually what happens. If things aren't meant to go down the toilet, you fish them out and then take them to the landfill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends what it is. You know, anything that's flushed, it's our job to take it out. When it's biodegradable, we send it through the treatment process, and we biologically break it down and treat the water. But when you flush non-biodegradable items, you know, flushable wipes, those type of things, they don't break down, they're not biodegradable, and we have to fish them out somehow.
All right, so there's the message on quote-unquote flushable wipes. Throw them away from this point forward. And again, don't throw them on the ground, because for the same reason they don't break down at Mike's treatment plant, they don't break down very readily, if at all, out in the environment, period. So I see so many of these Clorox wipes and stuff just tossed on the ground as if they are tissues or a paper towel.
Are you throwing tissues on the ground, Chris?
No, as if they are. A tissue will break down in the environment much quicker than a Clorox wipe. So throw all these things away in the trash can, one or another. Okay, now adding to your, or maybe compounding this challenge, is the fact I'm assuming your flows into the treatment plant have fallen off these past few weeks.
The flows in the treatment facilities are down about 20% to 30% from this time last year. You know, keep in mind, last year we were in right in the midst of the busy ski season, all that shut down.
25%.
That does impact the treatment facility, but we're kind of used to frequent fluctuations in the number of people visiting Park City, so our treatment personnel are versed in dealing with these ups and downs of these flows, which is a real challenge, and it's a constant challenge for us, and it's somewhat unusual for wastewater treatment facilities because typically, you know, given municipal area, the flows are more or less, you know, pretty steady. But here, our fluctuation of visitors changes our wastewater flow, and it has a dramatic impact on the efficiency and how we have to operate the treatment plant. But again, mm-hmm. fortunately, our folks are trained in that. In this sudden drop of flow because of COVID-19, we're handling it very well, and the treatment plants are doing just fine.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Now, here's something a listener texted me. They wanted to know if the virus can survive or be transmitted through sewage and wastewater.
Sewage definitely contains the coronavirus too. It also includes such things as, you know, salmonella, hepatitis, HIV, giardia. It includes all those things. So the way we handle that is that we use a disinfection from ultraviolet light, and it's ultraviolet light that kills the DNA or disrupts the DNA and disinfects the wastewater. We often call this a germicidal irradiation. Mm-hmm. So we bombard the treated wastewater at the end of the process, and it kills and disrupts the DNA, and thus they're not viable, and they die. So our process is very good at removing viruses, including the COVID-19, along with these other things. So we're in good shape there, and none of that's getting into the receiving streams or our local, you know, creeks.
So, Mike, another thing that, you know, Chris and I were kind of talking about and wondering how you manage is, what if you do have, you know, some folks on your workforce with these really specialized skill sets and knowledge bases that do get sick? You know, you provide one of the most critical services, obviously, to our community. How does that keep going? What do your plans look like around that?
Well, we've been through this. Unfortunately, we do have a couple of employees that have tested positive for COVID-19. They did not get it here at work. They got it through family members, and we've quarantined those folks. But the answer to your question is, we have separated all of our personnel to work individually or as a maximum of a two-person crew. And that when we paired these crews up in groups of two, they are together for the duration of the pandemic. They do not contact other crews. They stay together. So if one of them gets infected with COVID-19, it doesn't go any further than those two people. So, you know, we're following the guidelines of our local health department and CDC, and that we're, when you say keeping distance from each other, we're keeping really far from each other,
wow.
Like in separate vehicles, separate buildings,
right.
And not even looking at each other, so that we can maintain a number of healthy employees to continue to operate the system. So we're taking great efforts to maintain a sufficient number of staff to provide the service to the community.
Wow. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Mike Lures. He's the general manager of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. We're talking about some of the challenges he and his staff face operating their wastewater treatment plants here in town. Like Nell said, critical infrastructure that has to go on. And like you also point out now, these are licensed operators. These aren't just people that you can train up. They have to be licensed and certified to run these facilities. So there's
right. our both of our water reclamation facilities, as we call them, are advanced treatment facilities, meaning they provide the highest level of treatment that's provided in the state. And our operators are at the highest level of authorization and training that exists. And it takes years and years and years for these employees to reach that level of certification and to be able to operate and do the chemistry and the biology that's necessary in these treatment plants. So, yeah, these aren't employees we can just pick up, very easily. And there's honestly a great deal of competition to retain these employees. And as other treatment plants come on, it becomes very hard to keep good staff because other people would like to hire them. But we do a good job with that here, and our Board of Trustees does a great job in assisting us to do that. But, you just can't hire them off the street.
How What are you hearing from other facilities, water reclamation facilities like yours around the state, let's say? Are they facing similar challenges?
They are. We just had a meeting with our colleagues down in the Wasatch Front, and this flushable wipe issue is becoming more and more of a problem. That's number one. Number two, isolating employees to the extreme so that we can maintain a healthy workforce. I know some water plants in another state, they've moved in campers on their wastewater and water treatment site, and the employees never leave. They literally stay there for 2 weeks at a time.
Wow.
And then they rotate out to ensure that they don't get infected with the COVID-19. So in our industry, the water and wastewater folks, you know, in order to continue to provide service, which is obviously something that has to continue no matter what, we're going to rather extreme measures to keep our workforce healthy.
Wow, that's amazing. I can't get over that.
Yeah,
living on site for a few weeks at a time.
I had heard something similar with water treatment facilities too. Same thing.
Right.
That's just giving us the water, you know, coming out of our taps. So staff are being sequestered and have to stay on site, like Mike describes. It's really wild thinking, out of the box thinking that is going on right now to address an issue that is unlike any other. So, and this is going to continue, Mike, right? You're playing.
Oh, this is, yeah. We're you know, as everyone has read and heard in the news, you know, we're nowhere near even to the peak of this yet. So, we anticipate working under these conditions for several months.
Okay. And how are you feeling? Just in general, I mean.
It's a challenge. You have all these small business owners in town here, you know, not being able to open up for business and stay employed and keep your employees employed. While we're employed, it's a challenge to provide the service, keep everyone healthy, and still at the same time be able to answer, phone calls and questions and issues that customers have. And we do ask for patience from the community. If they give us a call or stop by, we might not be able to get to them right away because, again, we only have one or two people in the main office at any one time. It's a challenge, and we're all in this together, but I think we'll get through it. We just need to hang in there.
Right. And what are some of the calls that you're getting? What are people concerned with?
Well, certainly, it still runs across the gamut. We still have some developers that need approvals on plans that they're proceeding with. We have people that would like to come in and pay their bill that sometimes they, would like to do instead of mailing it in. We have people concerned with being unemployed and how can we work with them to hold off on taking any kind of action for unpaid bills. Again, we still have to maintain the system. It's kind of like doing the dishes at your home. You know, if you don't do dishes for 2-3 days, the dishes start stacking up, and after a while, they overflow under the floor or out of the sink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the wastewater system is something that requires constant maintenance. While it functions very well here, if we don't have our crews out cleaning it and inspecting it, things will back up and cause problems. So you will see our trucks out doing maintenance, and that's just something that we have to do to keep the system functioning. If this was only a week-long or even a month-long situation, we could shut everything. We could not perform that preventive maintenance. But this is going to go on for months. So we have our crews out. Again, we got our pairs of two individuals per truck and on those types of crews, and they stay together and they're going to continue working out in the field.
And let's be aware, you don't have an option to simply not treat this sewage or give it just a rough pass through. You still have your state and federal requirements to meet before you introduce this water back into East Canyon Creek, correct?
Right. You know, we want to continue treating it to a very high level. We want to make sure we disinfect it to kill the COVID-19 virus that's in the wastewater and protect not only the local health of our citizens, but, you know, the environment. So we'll continue to do that. We're just going to have to be a little creative on how we get that done.
Right. Well, you've been doing this for decades, Mike. I'm sure you and your staff are very creative. Right. One thing I learned working with wastewater treatment and water treatment operators, they're very creative when it comes to solving problems. Yes, very resourceful when it comes to fixing things and making things continue to work. Well, we really appreciate it. Go ahead.
We have a dedicated staff.
Yes.
And, I mean, they understand their responsibility in a situation like this. And they understand their responsibilities to protect the public, the health of the public, and our local environment. And they're all jumping in right into to this and really taking this as they should seriously and getting the job done. So it's a pleasure to work with them.
And just to bring this back again, we can all do our part by simply remembering the three P's. Pee, poop, and paper go down the toilet, not flushable wipes or other types of wipes that...
Or paper towels.
Or paper towel, right. Anything like that.
I might have mention one other item, just kind of an item of interest. Starting this week, we will be participating in a study with the University of Utah where they will be coming out taking samples of our wastewater, and they'll be looking for COVID-19 RNA in the wastewater. And they're hoping to quantitatively be able to measure the level of COVID-19 in the area by using that methodology.
Wow.
So we'll see where that goes. Hopefully it'll produce good results, but I think we're taking our first sample today.
Wow.
It's amazing what we can learn from our wastewater. We've learned about you. Yeah. We've learned about these things from you for years now. So.
Yeah. And this is going to be sampling at, say, the headworks and then through the process and the effluent?
It'll be at the headworks because the university wants to know what is the level of COVID-19 coming into the treatment plant.
Right.
And then quantitatively measure that in a way so that they can back calculate what the overall rate of prevalence it is in the community.
Oh, wow. Okay. Fascinating. All right. Something for us to touch base with and talk about the
sure.
next time we,
That's
we
right.
chat.
We'll get an update.
Mike Lures, General Manager of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. Thank you so much. I'm sure you have information on your website that describes all this. Let's have it.
Not yet. We haven't gotten that far, but we will.
All right. Well, you have a press release you put out or notice about flushable wipes. We have it in front of us. We'll read it maybe at the end of the show or so.
That's right. Hey. And go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, hey, thank you for having me, and please, let us know how we can help. And
yes.
If there's listeners out there that have any questions, you haven't given me a call.
Oh, are you sure, Mike?
No. We want to, Brad, answers to people's questions.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time out of what I know is a very busy week for you.
And we'll continue to be.
That's right. And we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Mike.